If there's one thing everyone can agree on, it's that finances can be confusing, especially when you're trying to make sure your career, family life, and everything in between is taken care of. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a budgeting newbie, or just someone looking to supercharge your financial future in about 15 minutes, this is for you. If you're ready to make your money work harder for you, and if you're ready to spark true financial independence, then you've come to the right place. I'm Teresa Arago, and this is Talking Sense. If you've been doom scrolling lately, you might have caught the Bloomberg article that indicated, with its headline, that 401ks will be gone in 10 years. Before you panic and start selling things and stuffing cash under your mattress, let's break down what's actually going on here. Today, we're going to dive into the future of the 401k, why the government might be eyeing those, and most importantly, what this actually means for your retirement. And I've brought Chad Roller from our Conway office to join me again. He's been in this industry for a long time. We've seen a lot of changes even in the short time we've been doing this, but we thought it was important to at least address this because I feel like there's a lot of, let's call it, compelling headlines out there that aren't always really true.
Right. And sometimes they just use those to grab your attention, right? Mm-hmm. But also, you got to kind of go through the article and understand what is the underlying conversation that's being made. And we know that as long as we've been in the industry, there's always going to be, always have been, conversation mm-hmm. on what is the government going to do about taxation on tax-deferred retirement accounts.
Yes, and spoiler alert, your money isn't about to vanish like a lot of people will tell you. But there are some interesting changes being considered that we feel like are worthy to talk about. So some of the claims from this article were that tax advantage plans might disappear in the future. Not that your existing money is going to be suddenly taxable or will vanish, but the government is seeking new revenue sources. And this is not specific to any particular administration. This is just something that's been talked about over the last several years. So we wanted to talk through it. The political angle is that it's easier to eliminate tax advantages and get away with it and still get reelected than it is to start taxing people more. So in lieu of increasing taxes, this article posits that they're going to get rid of these tax-advantaged accounts altogether.
Yeah, so if your tax bracket, let's say you're in the 22% federal tax bracket, and you start putting towards your 401k, so now you're basically, if you make $100,000 and you put $10,000 towards mm-hmm. your 401k, now you've deferred that $10,000, so you're not paying those federal taxes on there. So mm-hmm. that's what they're targeting is. They're saying, well, if we don't allow that tax deferral, then we don't have to raise that 22% rate.
Yes, and there's the ability to not pay taxes on the gains throughout that life cycle until you pull money out. So they're losing, supposedly, they're losing that revenue. And they guessed that the government's losing about $185 billion annually in revenue from taxes, which is about 1% of the GDP when they were writing this article. And they also said in that article that tax breaks are benefiting the higher earners because if they're paying higher taxes, they're getting lowered by these, you know, deferrals and not having to pay on that, then that would allow them to save more. But the reality is this revenue is not lost. It's just delayed because when you pull out of that tax deferred account, if you've put into a pre-tax retirement account and you pull out in retirement, you pay the taxes then. So it's not like the government just loses all that. They're going to collect on those withdrawals eventually. And yeah, you have lower taxes in retirement. So that does lower the amount they would get out of you. But there's still lots of things they've done recently even to fix some of what they're perceiving as that missing. I mean, just the changes in beneficiary IRAs. You know, when you and I first started, people, if I inherited an IRA from a family member, I could take my whole lifetime to take that back out and expose it to taxes. But now that is much shorter. Would you talk through that a little bit?
Yeah, so the SECURE Act is what we're referring to. So the latest legislation that they utilized through the SECURE Act, they changed that to a 10-year withdrawal rule. So mm-hmm. for non-spousal, so if let's take, for instance, if your grandparent mm-hmm. left you their IRA, and that's a pre-taxed IRA, traditional IRA, then you as a non-spouse of your grandparent, you would have 10 years to withdraw those monies from that Benny IRA, as beneficiary IRA. So unlike what you stated earlier, instead of over your lifetime, now you're closing that window down mm-hmm. to a 10-year period. So what we find is, well, let's say you're in your, 45, 50 years old, and you're in some of your highest earning years throughout your employment. Now you're taking monies on a shorter time period. So it's going to be a lot larger lump sum distribution to you mm-hmm. out of that beneficiary IRA. So now you're paying probably more taxes
yes.
on those funds, whether as if you were to just stretch them over your lifetime. So that's one of the major impacts that we've seen. And again, you know, to say that the 401k is going to go completely away, we do feel like there are going to be continued adjustments to these type of basically distribution strategies and mm-hmm. taxation for your contributions or distributions.
Yes. And I just got curious when I was reading this article and started looking at some of the international approaches to retirement, because it just kind of struck me that what do other people do? If America's got this challenge, how do other people handle
it? Not everybody eats American food, right?
Exactly. And so I looked at Denmark. They actually don't have tax advantaged accounts. They just have a very robust state pension system, and they have stronger social safety nets. So like family members, it's just part of their social structure to support each other. And so that's that kind of state-run pensions, which is similar to our social security system. In South America, there are government-mandated pension plans in many of those countries, but really familial support is the main resource for retirement plans there. And then I looked at European countries. Many of them mention a national pension system as well, but then they have personal savings added in there. So a lot of the European countries require you to take some of that ownership in putting back towards your own retirement savings. And I couldn't find out whether they had the 401ks or not. It was nothing real specific there. But I found it interesting that a lot of countries do have something similar to what we have in Social Security. So it's not like this is an uncommon thing across the world.
Yeah. So, but for here in the U.S., mm-hmm. for the majority of this people listen to this podcast, working here in the United States, whether it was going to go away and if it were to go away in a year or 10 years, it's not going to affect what you're doing today, right?
Yes.
Because you need to utilize the 401k as if it's never going away.
Correct.
Because more than likely, it's not going to just go away. There may be changes to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing that you need to do is utilize the tools that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And basically maximizing those pre-tax contributions, making sure, number one, that you're getting the match.
Yes.
That is obviously the most important. And could those matches change in the future? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because companies are going to be always doing what? Looking for
ways to increase that bottom line.
Yep. Exactly. So, you know, that's one area that I could see over time that we could see some changes in the matches. And mm-hmm. we have seen that evolve a little bit with profit sharing plans. You may
yes.
not have a match. You may just have a profit share at the end of the year. You have the ability to contribute from your employee side, but the mm-hmm. employer may not contribute unless there's a profit.
And historically, when things change, the government doesn't require you to go retroactively and take care of things. I know there are a lot of people have said, oh, well, they're coming for your existing accounts. That's one of those big bylines out right now. And historically, it's just not something that is done. Usually you're grandfathered into the old system, but going forward, you have a new system. And so we do believe that that's more likely what people are going to see. But if you can focus on what you're currently doing and make sure that you're doing what you need to do to get where you want to go now, we'll just let the rest worry about itself later. But we do have to talk about just the broader landscape of retirement and how it has changed during our lifetime.
Yeah, because this is not the first potential change, right?
No.
We have seen these changes over time from our, you know, grandparents' generations. It was what?
Pensions.
Wasn't the 401k, it was the pension, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were working for an entity that was putting back towards their pension. And there are some pensions still around, but nothing compared to, you know, what they saw. And that was the majority of their retirement, was their pension fund.
And so, the 401k's not even been around that long, really.
No. So we've seen changes in involvement, and there may be something even greater than the 401k. You know, there was used mm-hmm. to be Blockbuster, right?
Yeah.
And now it's and
just
now,
in case you didn't know, that was a movie rental place.
Yeah, there you go. It used to be
before
Blockbuster.
Before we had Netflix, which
exactly.
we thought would never survive.
So maybe there's something coming beyond the 401k that we don't know about yet, mm-hmm. because there was a time and place when there was just pensions.
Yes. And I think, you know, what has changed with that, with us not having access to pensions as much, is more of the responsibility is now on you. You are responsible for making sure that you have the savings in place to support you in retirement. And I know there are a lot of people that say, well, Social Security won't be here when I'm Social Security age. Maybe not. I think it'll be here in some fashion because you'd have to change the entire Constitution to take it out. But what if you saved as if it wasn't going to? What if you saved and planned your finances based off of it not being here? You're only going to be in better shape. Sitting and feeling like, well, it's not going to be here, why even try, isn't going to get you where you want to go. It's not going to help you find financial independence. So take that ownership and drive your own savings so that you can have the lifestyle you want in retirement. And then the other thing too is, you know, the middle class is probably the one that's going to be the most affected by this. We talked about this earlier about just like the payments, being able to save and all of that. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like, because I mean, I'd say you and I are probably middle class ourselves.
Exactly. So when you talk about the ultra wealthy, the high income earners, the 401k is just a portion of their retirement,
yes,
right? But for the middle class, it can be the majority of their retirement. So mm-hmm. if you have been working somewhere for 30 years and you've only been saving into the 401k, maybe you have a Roth IRA or something outside of that, the majority of your retirement is coming from the 401k, along with how are you going to couple that with Social Security?
Yes.
So that's those like you're talking about that are going to be most impacted if in all there was any changes made to these 401ks moving forward.
And I think it also speaks to how important it is to understand how your 401k works. Because I've had clients who were looking at switching jobs and we talked about their 401k and they were just within months of being fully vested. And so I said, listen, I know this might be a great opportunity, but do you think you could delay quitting just long enough to get fully vested so that they were able to keep the full match from the employer? Because not all of that's yours day one. So you want to make sure you understand how the match works, how the vesting works, so that you get the full benefit from the program while you can. So let's talk about key takeaways from this, because I mean, we're not big believers in these dynamic titles being something that should cause you to alarm. But what are some things that people can take away from what we've discussed today?
Well, number one, keep maximizing your savings. That's the number one, is making sure, number one, you have your match mm-hmm. met, but maximizing what you're putting back, and it's tailored to your plan. It's mm-hmm. not always just a set percentage for everyone. Everyone has a different percentage depending on your overall household plan,
yes,
and how long your timeline. So make sure you're maximizing. Also, make sure your allocations are where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you feel like you have a short timeline doesn't always mean you need to be very conservative in your investment strategy. So we've seen that a lot in target date funds mm-hmm. that evolved. Those are also something that's evolved in the 401k,
yes,
and changes over time is, you know, the transition to target date funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else that, you know, maximizing your contributions. What can you put back? What are you investing in inside those 401ks? And then also, this is something that we've always seen is, are you taking away from the 401k? Do you have,
yes,
loans? Are there situations? Because if there was some changes to be made in the 401k landscape, would it put you in a situation where you had an outstanding loan that could become taxable?
Mm-hmm. And then I think too, just like anything, stay informed, but don't panic. You know, we don't feel like this is going to be something where there's any sort of immediate threat to your current 401k or your current IRAs, but you want to stay informed because if legislation is going to change, you want to have your voice heard. And if you're not keeping up with it, then you won't be able to do that. Consider making sure that you're on track now. So if you're on track now, if you've taken the time to really look at what your plan is, then you've got an advocate who can help you swerve if you need to in the future. So make sure you're maximizing those. Make sure you're not panicking, because again, we don't want to make emotional decisions with our money. That tends to not work out in our favor. But also stay informed about your options so that you can make more wise decisions in the future. So it's time for us to kind of go through our last two cents. Chad, I'm going to let you go first.
Obviously, we don't have a crystal ball. And,
no, mine never showed up. I ordered it from Amazon. It didn't come in. I don't know what happened.
And we're not sitting in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. and understanding what all conversations are happening. We do know that we're under a heavy national debt.
Yes.
And there's going to have to be ways that we repay that debt over time. And so anytime that you have monies that are out there, whether it be Social Security funds, pension plans, 401k assets, those monies are always going to be in negotiation. They're mm-hmm. going to be in conversations of what are the potential to utilize those funds to pay towards some of this national debt or reposition those funds to something else that, you know, new expenses coming down the pathway. So I don't think it's ever going to be off the table. Mm-hmm. But I think you always need to be aware of making sure that to control what you can control, and that's what you put towards your 401k.
Yes, and controlling your behavior. I think you always said it's your attitude and your activity that you can control. Absolutely. And I love that, because we can control what we're doing in our day-to-day financial decision-making. We can control our attitude towards money. And I think these are always great talking points for people to have a quick byline or to get your attention. Often things are, as we said at the beginning of this, overinflated or overstated. So take some time to educate yourself. Make sure you're maximizing what options you have today to set yourself up to win in the future. Well, that's it for us today on Talking Sense. If you haven't already subscribed to our channel, we'd love for you to do that and share this episode with your friends so they can stay informed as well. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes. The Jim Wolf team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or by calling our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526. And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through Independent Advisor Alliance. Independent Advisor Alliance and Jim Wolf Financial Advisors are separate entities from LPL Financial.